So it was Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, that said these words: God is too good to be unkind and too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. Brother Jamie, when we can't make sense of what God is doing in our lives, when we cannot see or feel the hand of God moving in our circumstances, we still have to trust in the very nature of God. That he is the God of love. That he's the God of kindness. Yeah. And he's the God that continues to guide our lives and our circumstances. That he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. It may not feel like God is with you. In your own mind, it may not look like it. But rest assured that God is faithful. I struggle with what God allows in my life and the lives of others at times, because I realize that God is sovereign. To say that God is sovereign means that God can do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, because he's God. That he's all-powerful. That he's all-knowing. That he's everywhere at the same time. That time means nothing to God as it does to us. That he lives in the eternal past and the present and the future. That God is sovereign. But I've struggled sometimes, y'all, with what God allows in his sovereignty. Because you have to face the fact that if God can do anything, that he can do something in my situation. That he can free me, that he can release me because he's God. But he chooses to act according to his divine will and not mine. That I don't get a vote in the situation. And you don't get a vote either. But all of us have to trust God. Simply trust God and his faithfulness. Trust the very nature of God. Trust the heart of God in whatever you're going through right now. I've struggled with the whys of the world. The questions that we ask. Dion, why are there babies that are born with defects and they die soon afterwards? Why are there starving children in this world that literally today they will die of starvation? Why do innocent people, our innocent children in our school system, go off to school one day and they don't return home to their parents? Why? Why is there so much evil and hatred and bigotry in this world today? God, why? God, I believe, I know that you're sovereign, you're all powerful, and all you have to do is move your hand, God, and you can change it, but you don't. And so I ask the question oftentimes, God, why? But maybe that's not the right question to ask anyway. It all revolves around the question we ask from time to time: why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes I ask, why do good things happen to bad people? But the question is really not ours to ask. And I don't pretend to be God. I don't pretend to have the answers to all of these questions. But there's something I know we need to do: to simply trust God. To trust in his nature. To trust that God is faithful. And God will act in accordance with his divine will and not mine and not yours. So I do want us to remember what an old prophet of God, what he remembered when his world came crashing down all around him. In God's people, this old prophet was surrounded with devastation. So turn with me in your Bibles to Lamentations, Old Testament book, the book of Lamentations, which means to mourn, to deeply grieve. There may be someone here today, someone listening in, that you are lamenting, you are weeping, you are grieving over some situation, some circumstance in your life. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. A very familiar passage of Scripture. So read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This is Jeremiah speaking. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this: the faithful love of the Lord never ends, his mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, keeping a good memory in a bad situation. Keeping a good memory in a bad situation. When things are bad and things are sure enough bad, you need to keep a good memory of who God is. You need to trust his nature. You need to trust his promises. That God will fulfill all his promises that he promised you in your life and in my life. The book of Lamentations, y'all, it's written by Jeremiah. Many of us call him the weeping prophet. He also writes the book of Jeremiah. But he writes at a time, y'all, of great mourning, great remorse, because God's people in Judah have been destroyed, literally taken into captivity by the Babylonians. That the walls of the city were burned down. The women and the children were taken captive. There was chaos and confusion and devastation all around them, all around Jeremiah. So bad. Jeremiah says in 3:20, listen, I'll never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. And right now, there's somebody that's grieving over your loss. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. It's a loss of a job. It's a loss or devastation of a relationship. And you're grieving right now. But Jeremiah goes on to say greater things. He grieved, but that was not it. That Lamentations, y'all, it's a poetic book of great hope in our times of anguish. It's a reminder to us that we can have peace in our valley. We can have joy in our sorrow. We have hope for tomorrow. We can have hope in our Hades. We can dance in the rain. Why? Why? Because of what Jeremiah says here in Lamentations, smack dab in the middle of the book. We find a beautiful passage that lets us know we can have hope and confidence in God Almighty. That Jeremiah reminds us that in the middle of our hard times, we can have hope in God. That's what I want to let you know today. In the middle of your hard time, in the middle of your grief, in the middle of your pain, you can have hope in God. You can have confidence in God. I'm not talking about the kind of hope that the world has, that when we say we hope for something, we have this idea we want something to come to pass. But the hope that we have in God, it is an assurance. And that assurance is what God promises, God will fulfill it, God will do it, because he's faithful. So when faced with the inability to see the tangible, visible evidence of God's work in a particular situation or to understand the reasons behind it, we must maintain a deep faith in God's character, his goodness, his wisdom, and his love for us. You may be going through a difficult time right now, but hope in God. Remember who God is. You may be living in bad times right now, but remember who God is. That he's a God that loves you, dealing with cancer in your body, precancerous cells, but God is faithful, and God will deliver you. Maybe you lost a loved one, and you're weeping right now. Your heart is broken, but God is still faithful, and God is still good. So the event, Brother Roy, the babies are still in the hospital, but God is still faithful, and at his appointed time, he will bring them out. That he will deliver. I'm still dealing with issues in your body as a result of a heart transplant. But God's heart is for you. And God will deliver you in his time and in his way. Anybody believe that God is just faithful right now? I could stop right now. I could shout over the faithfulness of God. How do you know? Because he's been faithful in my life. That God is faithful. No matter what pressure, no matter what problem, no matter what you're dealing with, God is faithful. So yes, he is. Don't get me started in the house today. So let me offer y'all real quickly, because we need to go. Y'all, my daughter is with us, y'all. She's from Orlando, but she came to the first service. She's at the house now, y'all, and she said, Dad, I'm going to get some stuff. And so I smell the bacon already. So we're going to get through this, y'all. We're going to get through this today. Offer you three things that Jeremiah remembered, which gave him hope, that we need to remember about God when life makes no sense at all. We're dealing with the hardships of life. They're hounding us. We need hope, y'all. Some things we need to remember. And the first thing is simply this. I want you to remember that God's love is our preservation. It's simply God's love that keeps us each and every day. Look, verse 22a. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Let me say it the way another Bible says it. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Jeremiah begins with gratitude that he's still standing. Yeah, we have no other reason to praise God because we're still here. We're yet still breathing. We have a reason to praise God. It's because of God's love that you are still here, that God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. You're still breathing. And that's a reason to praise God all by itself. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I think about Jeremiah's situation, his thought process as he's looking at his own people being destroyed by the Babylonians, their great enemy. The city walls are burning down. There's chaos and confusion everywhere. But in the midst of all of this, Jeremiah remembers, he remembers God. The walls of the city were burned. They literally fell down, but God's love did not fall down. God's love did not fail him. The Hebrew phrase, great love or steadfast love, it's a word that means hesed. It's a covenant love. It's a loyal love. It's a faithful love. It's the kind of love, y'all, that won't take legs and walk away from you. Anybody in the house today, you know about some love that's walked away from you. It took legs and it walked off. That he promised he'd be there all the time whenever you needed him, but it looked like love walked out. I think Stacey Lattisaw had a song a long time ago. She said, I found love on a two-way street, but I lost it on a lonely highway. Has love ever walked out on you? I tell you something, God's love, Tori, it won't walk out on you. You may not sense or feel, but his love, he won't walk out on you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. In your anguish, in your pain, and in your grief, God said, I'm with you. I promise I would never leave you, nor would I forsake you. That's God's word, and God's word is true. Romans 5:8 says this, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet still sinners, yet still slipping and dripping and tripping and all of that, that Christ came and he died for us. In the middle of my mess, God still loved me. In the middle of my waywardness and my wickedness, God still kept me. And I'm glad about it. Y'all, there's this old Band-Aid jingle. Some of y'all remember this. Some of y'all still young enough to remember it. It says that I am stuck on Band-Aid brand, because Band-Aid stuck on me. I tell you something, God's love is stuck on you. That God has a sticky kind of love that won't let go of you. No matter how many hellhounds chase you, God's love will not leave you. He won't forsake you. No matter what you do, God still loves you with an everlasting love. No matter what you've been through, God loves you with an everlasting love. That God's love is sticky than super glue, or gorilla glue. That God's love won't let go. Anybody glad this morning his love didn't let go of you? That God held on to you. He simply would not let go. When you let go of his hands, he still held on to you. And then Jeremiah says, y'all, he says, we are not consumed. Let me say that plain. In other words, the situation you went through, it didn't take you out. It almost took you out, but it did not. And it did not because of you. It did not because of God. That God's hand was on you. That God kept you. That God was with you, that God's word is true. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. Think about a candle that blows in the wind. The winds howl, but the thick flicker of the flame will not go out. The flame won't go out because it's protecting itself. But there's an unseen hand around the flicker and the flame. And the winds blow and they howl, but it will not go out because the unseen hand of God protected from going out. That's the way it is with us, y'all. That the storms rage, the winds blow, they howl, but God's unseen hand are still with you. That God is there, that God is here, that God provides, that God protects, that God is with you. And God will open doors that no man can close. It's in his time, Dion. We simply trust God. That God will do what God wants to do. We simply have to be open to him. That God's love is great. We thank God for his great love for us. You might have some scars, but listen, you're still standing. You may have cried, but you didn't collapse. Listen, we're not standing, y'all, because life is easy, but because God's love is strong. We're not standing because life is easy, but God's love is strong. It's an everlasting love. It's a love that won't let go of us. Somebody ought to be shouting right now because of God's love. We must remember that God's love preserves us. It keeps us. Not only that, but God's compassion is our restoration. How many believe and know that God is a restorer? That he can restore broken things. He can restore broken places. He can restore broken relationships. He is a restorer. God's compassion is our restoration. Jeremiah says his mercies, I love it, they never cease. Or his compassions never fail. The word compassion here comes from a word that literally means to be moved in the inward parts. Compassion. To be moved in the inward parts. God's bowels of mercy. Compassion to be moved on the inward parts. That God's compassion for us is not some cold kind of compassion or love or mercy. But when God looks at you and he looks at me and he sees the things that we're going through, that he's moved with compassion on the inward parts. And the last time I checked, when God is moved on the inward parts, it calls God to action. That God will move on your behalf and my behalf. Anybody glad about the compassions and the mercies of God? Don't fool me now. That you cannot exhaust his compassion. I think about Moses in Exodus chapter 33. That God is calling him to take his people Israel through the desert to the promised land. And Moses said, God, listen, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. God, if I don't have your presence, I'm not moving anywhere. That's a word for somebody today. That if God is not moving, don't you move. If you feel like God is not with you in a particular thing, don't you move. You stay right there. That we moved under the unction and of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God in our lives. But he said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And Moses goes on to say, God, listen, I need to see your glory. He's saying in essence, God, I need to see you. I need to see you. But there's a problem. That no man has ever seen God in his fullness, in his glory, in his majesty and power, and lived. So he says to Moses, he said, Mo, what I'm going to do, there's a rock over there. I'm going to hide you in the crevice of the rock. And when I hide you in the crevice of the rock, listen, I'm going to make my goodness. I'm going to make my mercy pass by you. And when it passes by, you'll hear me say that I have compassion upon whom I have compassion and love upon whom I have love. It was an illustration of God's great compassion and mercy for Moses, for the children of Israel. That same mercy and compassion is towards you and me. Think about a loving parent. Our children do the things that they do, and we tell them, don't do this, Johnny, don't do that, but you know, they jump off the chair anyway. They trip over stuff. You told them not to do it anyway. But in that moment when they fall and they're hurt, you don't chastise them in that moment. You go, you run to them and you pick them up. You hold them in your arms. You tell them it's going to be okay. Now, don't do that again. Don't do that. Let's do it another way. But that's the way God does with us. That God's compassion is our restoration. There are too many people, y'all, that have a guilty complex today. That they're living in shame today, not realizing that God's compassion and his mercy is covering them right now. That there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So after you fail and after you fall, listen, you can get back up again. You can walk again. That God is with you. His compassions will not fail you. They do not cease in your life or my life. You feel like you've messed up too much. That God must be tired of you. That God is through with you. That's a lie from the devil. That God still has a purpose and a plan for your life. That God still has a work for you to do. So get back up, dust yourself off, and depend upon the grace, the mercy, and the compassion of God. Jeremiah reminds us something else. There's no sin too great, no failure too deep, no valley too dark that the mercy of God can't find us. So know this, when you run out of strength, his mercy runs towards you. When you run out of strength, the mercy of God runs towards you. So first, his love, Yahweh, preserves us. Second, his compassion restores us. But Jeremiah doesn't stop there. He says something fresh. There's something fresh in the text, Sister Irish. There's something that's new that ought to give you a new hope and a new song and a new praise. That he says this, that there's something new and fresh every single day of our lives, that God's faithfulness is our reassurance. Look at verse 23. He says, great is his faithfulness. His mercy begins afresh each morning. Yet his mercy is new each day. His mercy is fresh each and every morning. That means that every sunrise is a sermon. That every time you wake up in the morning, it ought to preach of God's purpose for your life. It's a sermon to let you know that God loves you. It's a sermon to let you know that his mercy is fresh every single day. That's what God does. Every dawn declares that no matter how dark the night, light always returns. Jeremiah says God's mercies are new every single morning. That means, y'all, that God never repeats leftovers. That he doesn't recycle mercy. He makes it fresh, a fresh batch, each and every day for you and for me. Sit to the folks this morning, think about your favorite bakery, donut shop, Krispy Kreme. You ever been in HEB, y'all, and it's early in the morning, they ain't got all the good stuff out there yet. They got about half the donuts out there. They ain't got it all out there. It's not all out there yet, but you smell that bread baking in the background, by smelling real good and everything. Y'all, you just wait. I got to go, though. I got to get it. But you smell that fresh baked bread, y'all. Any Krispy Kreme lovers in the house today? Y'all know about the hot light? Early in the morning, you riding by Krispy, and the hot light comes on. Get you a dozen of them donuts and a glass of milk. Ask her why you want some, too. But the hot light comes on. It lets you know that fresh baked donuts are there. And they do it every single day. The same thing applies to the mercy of God. Yeah. That the heavenly light comes on, the holy light comes on. I got fresh mercy for you today. I got new grace and new compassion for you every single day of your life. Maybe yesterday was rough. Maybe you fail, maybe you feel short, maybe you feel forgotten. But this morning, listen, you opened up your eyes. And that was proof of God's mercy. That was proof of his compassion. That was proof of his grace for you and for me. Every sunrise is a divine reminder that God is still faithful. That God said, I'm still with you. I promise I'd never leave you nor forsake you. And I still have a plan for your life. Every morning comes wrapped in mercy, stamped with God's faithfulness. So Jeremiah didn't deny what he was going through. He saw what he saw. He saw Judah, Jerusalem burning to the ground. He saw the people being taken captive. He saw the devastation. He saw the chaos and the confusion. And make no mistake about it, in the world in which we live today, there's a lot of chaos and confusion. But I came to let you know that God is greater than the chaos and the confusion. And that God is in control. So keep your eyes focused. Keep your eyes focused on God. Jeremiah didn't deny it. But right in the middle of this dire situation, right in the middle of this devastation, Jeremiah said what we need to say. I dare to have hope. And I double dare you to have hope. When you remember who God is, the very nature and the character of God, The fact that he is faithful, it can carry you through any devastation, any pain, any heartache, any problem. When you really know that you know that you know that God is faithful, I believe it today, then I know it. So when it seems like everything is breaking apart, remember this truth. God's love, it keeps you. God's compassion, it heals you. And God's faithfulness renews you. The old pastor that said once that every night that he put his head on his pillow, that he prayed, Lord, thank you that no matter what today brought, tomorrow will bring new mercy. And every morning when he wakes up, old preacher said that he feels the warm sunshine on his face, that he utters the word, great is thy faithfulness. Can I remind you, it's 11:36, but it's still morning. Can I remind you that we're all still here? Can I remind you that God's mercies never fail? Can I remind you that his compassions don't fail? And if you can remember that in this moment, can I ask you, can you put your hands together and give God a praise? Can you stand up on your feet, throw back your head, and tell God, thank you for another day? God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for being God all by yourself. I thank you for your delivering power. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your healing hand. I thank you for being God all by you. God, you are sovereign. So yet I dare to hope when I remember this. Faithful love of the Lord, it never ceases. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. God, we thank you for your mercies, your fresh mercy, your fresh grace, your fresh love. That's why we have a fresh praise, a fresh song to you, oh God. We sing our fresh song to you, oh God, for all that you've done for us. God, you are good. You are better than good. And God, we thank you. So, in our bad situations, oh God, we remember, we have a good memory that God, you are, you're faithful. And the church said amen. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him for his faithfulness. He did it before, he can do it again. Praise him for his faithfulness. Yes, he's a faithful God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's a faithful. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's a faithful God. And he can do anything but fail. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this word of encouragement, for just reminding us that you are faithful. God, that you will open doors that no man can close. We don't get to decide when, how, where, but you do. And so we trust your nature. We trust your heart. When our hands cannot trace you, because there are times, God, when we don't know what you're up to. It just doesn't make sense. But help us to stand under your power and your authority, to hold on to your unchanging hand. God, we thank you and we praise you. And God, we pray in this moment for all those that are under the sound of my voice, but especially those that are not in the saving relationship with Jesus. God, that you would speak to their hearts. Let someone know that you are faithful. So faithful that while we were yet in sin, that Jesus came and he died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. We admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. Pray, oh God, that someone would accept and believe in this moment that, Father, you sent your Son into the world. That he was born of a virgin. That he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached that the kingdom is near. He died on the cross. He was beaten and whipped, scorned. His blood came streaming down. And he died. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. Because he was and is faithful, and you are faithful, oh God. And again, whosoever shall call upon this Jesus shall be saved. So speak, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do in this moment. Speak, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. Save to the utmost all that will come to Jesus this day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Speak to a heart right now, a person that may not be connected to a local assembly where they can pray with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers. Speak now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God in the house today. So this is the moment that we extend our invitation. If you are not saved in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we extend this invitation to you today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. We have right here, right now and today. Won't you come? Our ushers are in the back of the room. Their hands are extended. They will lead you out to our new member room across the hallway, room number 1. You'll meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll gather information from you and they'll pray with you, and we'll welcome you with open arms. Perhaps you are as we say in our churchified way, you are a born again believer. Jesus said you must be born again. That you may be a born again believer, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers. We invite you today. Won't you come? Our hands are extended. Won't you come right now? As the old folk used to say, while the blood is still running warm through your veins, won't you come right now? Toward me, great is your mercy toward me. Yeah, thank you, sir. Great is your grace. Oh. Come on, sing it, y'all. I need you to think about that. Talk to God. You're talking to God about this, about his mercy and his grace towards you. Do you see it? Every day of your life. No complaining. Not even trying to explain it. Just accept his grace and his mercy and his goodness. Won't you come right now? He's extending his grace and his mercy to you. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now? Don't wait. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another second. If you tuned in today, you're asking, how can I do this? Listen, there's a link that you can click on. Click on that link. Click on that link and fill out the information. I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. Won't you come right now? Click on the link. Get up from where you are right now. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Get up from where you are right now. And if by chance you choose to not get up in front of a bunch of people, but you still want to be connected to Living Faith, you can do that immediately following the worship service. Go across the hallway, meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll get with you. They'll welcome you with open arms. And the church said, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.